I had a professor in seminary who had the goal of writing a book that would still be in print in 100 years. That's a pretty lofty goal. Only a very tiny percentage of books stay in print more than just a few years. But what about you? Is there anything you're doing right now that's likely to have a significant positive impact on people 100 years from now?
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Verse 4, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Why? Because your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's all one sentence. He's saying, I'm happy about the partnership between you and me because God will carry on the good work. What good work? What good work is God going to carry on all the way till the day of Christ? The popular answer to that question is it's their salvation. So the idea is God is the one that started their salvation, and so he's the one that's going to continue it and bring it to fruition. The problem with that view is it totally ignores the context. He's not talking about their salvation. He's talking about what? Their partnership. That's the good work. And you can tell that just by following the timeline that he gives. Look what it says. He says, I always pray with you pray with joy because of your partnership when? In the gospel, from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work will carry it on until when? To completion, until the day of Christ. So you see the timeline? Started from the first day when the church started, AD 49, up until now, AD 61, when I'm writing this letter, and it's going to continue the rest of the time all the way to the second coming. It's just an unbroken timeline. It's an unbroken sentence. It's an unbroken timeline. He doesn't suddenly stop talking about their partnership and start talking about their salvation. In the next verse, starting in verse 7, he's right back to talking about their partnership in the gospel. Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. So he's back to the term God's grace is just another reference to Paul's ministry. The work of the gospel. Very often, Paul referred to his ministry as his grace. You can see that many times in Scripture. The thing that's been going from the first day until now, and that's going to keep going, is their partnership in the gospel. This word, good work, this phrase, good work, that appears here and 11 other times in the New Testament. It never refers to our salvation. 100% of the time, it always refers to good deeds that we carry out that God performed through us. Just some examples, Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, same phrase, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Good works are things that we do, we perform, but we do it because God worked in us to will and to act. The good work is their partnership in the ministry, giving Paul gifts, supporting Paul, joining with him in the ministry. That's the good work. The Philippians were the ones who did it. They're the ones who sent the money and offered to help, but they did so because God was working in them to will and to act. Those were good works that he prepared in advance for them to do. That's why Paul was thankful to God for what the Philippians were doing, because he's the one that generated that in their hearts. First, he points us to the joy of the fellowship, which comes through gratitude, and now the source, and the source is whom? God. God's the one that put this fellowship of, not the ring, but the fellowship of the gospel together. And because of that, we can be assured of the third point, the next point, which is the longevity of this fellowship of the gospel. God will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Everything that the Philippians have done in partnering with Paul's gospel ministry will have ongoing results all the way until the second coming. That's the promise. All this work that they've been doing to help him, none of it is in vain. None of it's wasted. And that's important because you could easily see the Philippians thinking that their work was in vain, right? They'd be tempted to think that way because I mean, they bet their whole wad on this one horse, right? I mean, they everything is Paul. They're just pouring themselves into Paul's ministry. And now, it's not looking good. Paul's ministry seems to be done. It's shot. It's in ruins. People are turning against him. Prominent Christian leaders turning against him. His ministry seems like it's in ruins. Churches that he's planted They all have huge problems. Some of them actually embracing heresy. And he's locked up. He's not doing anything. What return are the Philippians getting on this all this investment for all these 12 years? Has all this expenditure of time and money and effort been foolish? Did they waste it? Paul assures them, no. No, the things that you've done to contribute to this partnership, that was something that God did through you. It was a good work brought about through you by God, which means it's not over. God's just getting started. Back then in the first century, the glorious outcomes and results of what you've done, Philippians, is going to have an impact tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, next decade, ongoing, all the way until Jesus comes back. And isn't that exactly what happened? I mean, the Philippians supported the Apostle Paul, and what did he do? What did he do with that money? Well, he used it so that he could engage in ministry, and he did all kinds of stuff. For example, writing the book of Philippians. And let me tell you, beloved, if you're thankful to God for Paul, when you read the book of Ephesians or the Philippians or any of these books, Romans, whatever, if you're thankful to God, just say, God, thank you for Paul. You should also say, thank you for those Philippians. Be just as thankful to the Philippians, because the Philippians are responsible for these books existing just as much as Paul was. They were equal partners in that ministry. It couldn't have happened without them. And so you look at everything that God has done in the past 2,000 years through their ministry, which supported Paul and made Paul's ministry possible. See, when you do something, anything, that furthers the progress of the gospel or that strengthens the work of the gospel, you are reaching way beyond your lifespan. And you're touching generations to come all the way to the very end. Anything you do that connects to the gospel. Now, is it guaranteed that a church's work will have an impact all the way to the second coming? I mean, does verse 6 guarantee that God will bless the ministry of every church all the way until the end? No, no. Because we read in Revelation, there's a risk some churches, their lampstand could be just removed altogether. 1 Corinthians 3:12 talks about some people's ministries like wood, hay, and stubble. It just burns up. There's no lasting value. There are some Christians who really do waste their lives, most of their lives. They pour their time and effort and energy into things that just don't have an eternal impact. So how can Paul be so sure that the Philippians aren't in that group? How can Paul be so sure that he can guarantee them that their ministry is going to go all the way to the end? How is he justified in making that assumption? Well, he defends that. He says, I am justified in saying that in verse 7. He said, it's right for me, the word is just, it's right and just for me to feel this way about all of you. That word feel is more than just a feeling, it's phroneo. The word means to make an assessment, to make a judgment. It's justified, Philippians, for me to make this assessment about all of you, that your ministry is going to go all the way to the end. I'm right and justified in assuming that God's going to continue to work your work to the end. Why? Verse 7, it's right. Why? Since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. The word share, that's koinonia again, strength and form of it. Fellowship, this is the fellowship of the gospel. The fellowship not of the ring, but of the gospel. And what he's saying is that the Philippians' fellowship in the gospel, this band of brothers, this group, their partnership with him was tenacious. He says it just goes, whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel. The Philippians were loyal to this fellowship. They didn't drop out of the fellowship because things got rough. They didn't bail out on Paul just when he lost popularity. They didn't lose interest during those times when Paul was just sitting there in chains. He's not producing as a missionary. And that tenacious devotion to the fellowship of the gospel put them in Paul's heart in such a way that it was clear to Paul, these guys are for real. See, Paul had seen his fair share of the short-termers. He'd seen his rocky soil and weedy soil types who get all excited about the gospel for a little while, but when things get hard, things get boring, or the allure of the world, or persecution, or any of that, they drop out of the fellowship. Paul had seen that, and he could tell, this isn't that. with you guys? That's not, you're not weedy soil, you're not rocky soil, you're not temporary. The Philippians were devoted. And so he says, it's right for me to have this assessment about you because I have you in my heart on the basis of your tenacious commitment and devotion to the fellowship of the gospel. You always share in God's grace, rain or shine. That's how I know it's going to go all the way to the end. So what's so encouraging is the Philippians, think about what their ministry was. It was mostly a supportive role, right? It was giving. It's easy for us to think of someone like the Apostle Paul having a ministry that has longevity, makes it beyond his death, right? We can picture that. Missionaries and big-time preachers and famous church planters and all these. Those are people, they get the ongoing impact after their death. But what about regular people? What about some of you just doing support ministries? You just provide finances or some other support ministry. You're not really out there necessarily being the one to proclaim and preach and all that to the masses. You're just doing something that facilitates something else, that facilitates somebody able to go out and preach and do missions and all the rest. That's the Philippians. It's exactly the role they were in. They had a support role, and yet they're considered equal partners with Paul. They don't just get a little bit of credit. They're equal partners. When we say we're benefiting from Paul's ministry, it's just as accurate to say that we're benefiting from the ministry of those faithful saints in Philippi who supported Paul. And all they did was they just went to work every day, worked hard, earned a living, got home, fed their family, scraped together what they could on the first day of the week, and pitched in to support Paul. And Paul speaks of them as equal partners in his ministry. And I don't mean to imply that giving money was the only thing that they did. They were doing other things. Reading this book, they're holding forth the word of life to the world as a church in 2:16. They were proclaiming the message. They were suffering persecution as a result. So it's not just mindless, oh, I'll write a check and forget about it. They were sold out for this partnership, this fellowship of the gospel. But it was mostly a support role, So one of the things that we learn from the book of the Philippians is that in the kingdom of God, you get just as much credit for doing a support ministry as you do for getting up and preaching and doing evangelism, planting the church and everything else. When a football player scores a winning touchdown, which organ in his body deserves the most credit? His heart or his lungs or his feet or his hands? Who gets the most? Well, it's silly. It's a silly question, right? It's a dumb question because the man, the whole man who scored the touchdown deserves the credit because the various parts of his body worked together, and the credit can't go to an individual part but to the man. If you're a heart or a lung, realize what's going on. Don't lose sight of why you're pumping blood or why you're using doing oxygen and all that. Don't lose sight of the fact you're in the Super Bowl. You've got something bigger than just this little thing that you're doing inside as an internal organ, right? You're contributing to this whole big effort. Don't ever think of your ministry as small. The fellowship of the gospel is the biggest thing going in the universe. It is the biggest thing going in the universe, this fellowship of the gospel. And you have a key role. You're one of the organs in the body. Realize the importance of your task. Realize the importance of this fellowship. How distractible are you from your task? Well, it depends on how great you think that task is. How great is this work that you're doing? If you think you're one of the non-essential personnel in the kingdom of God, and your task is just of minor importance, you may be faithful, you may not. You may continue on through hardship and obstacles and trouble and boredom and resistance, or not. You might just get tired and quit. But here's the thing you need to understand. If you are doing anything that contributes to the success of the ministry of the church, you are doing a great work. You are doing a great work. And it doesn't matter if it's the direct ministry or if it's a support role. If it contributes to the success of the overall work of the church, it is a great work because this is What is this? What is the church? It is God's household. It's the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is the very dwelling place of God. It's the headquarters of God's presence from which He dispenses grace in this world. It is a royal priesthood and a holy nation. It's the Israel of God. It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. It's the bride of Christ. It's the field where God is cultivating a harvest. It is the place where the word of life is held out to a dark world by the saints who shine like stars in the universe in a crooked and depraved generation. It is the kingdom of God. It is the banquet to which we're inviting the world to come and be satisfied. It's the only hope this world has. It is the only light in this present darkness. It is God's plan A, and there is no plan B. When you're doing something, anything that contributes to the success of the church of the living God, do you realize you are doing a great work? You are doing a work far greater than anything Nehemiah ever dreamed of doing. Family, listen to me very carefully. Just look up here a second. You are doing a great work. Sometimes churches develop a 3 to 5 year plan or a 5 to 10 year plan. Paul didn't really have that. He had like a 2,000 year plus plan. From now to the second coming plan. See, because the most important thing about this church isn't where we'll be in 10 years or 20 years or 100 years. What's important and exciting to think about is what kind of fruit will there be on that day from what you're doing right now on the day of Christ. On that day when God assesses our ministry and He looks back on all of the people who were saved, all the spiritual growth that took place, all the people who were reached by missionaries, all the love that was shown, and then all the people who were impacted by later generations from all that, and how it impacted their children and their children's children and their converts, then we'll know what the impact of this church was. One Sunday school teacher in this fellowship leads one little kid to the Lord. And that little kid grows up and gets married and raises a godly family, and his kids raise godly families, and their families raise godly families. And now you're talking about hundreds of great, great grandkids, and what some of them, when some of them start churches, and others go and reach unreached people groups, and others are in the mission field, and on it goes. All of that from the work of one Sunday school teacher here and now. Multiply that times the number of all the people doing all the different ministries in this church. The fruit that can come from this one little church in this one little time is absolutely staggering. It boggles the mind. You can't even contemplate it. You are a part of a fellowship that is doing a great work. So many times we shoot ourselves in the foot by walking around with this woefully short-term perspective. Things don't happen on our timetable and we give up. Some of the seeds that you're planting right now, they're not going to be ready for harvest for another 8 or 10 generations. We need to serve in the church with a from now until the second coming kind of view.
Years ago, when I was working at Domino's Pizza, I was scraping trays one day and dropped a big pile of crumbs on the floor. And I looked up and realized another employee had just been sweeping, and he had just swept that spot where I dropped all the crumbs of dried dough. The look he gave me was not on the friendly side, which is understandable. If somebody dumps a big mess right on the spot you just got done sweeping, that would irritate anybody. But why? What difference did it make to that guy? I mean, he's being paid by the hour. He had nothing else to do. He was trying to keep busy. If I hadn't dropped those crumbs, he would have had to find something else to do, probably something more difficult than sweeping. So why would it bother him? Well, there's something about having the work you just did being undone that sticks in the craw of the human soul. God designed us with a desire to accomplish meaningful work. And so when you put your efforts into something and all those efforts come to nothing, or the work you did gets undone, that just grates against the human soul. On the other hand, when you manage to do something that has meaning, it helps people, it accomplishes good, that's especially satisfying. And when it's something that will help a lot of people for a long time into the future, well, that's even more satisfying. Most people can't hope to do anything that will have much of an impact 100 years from now. Most of us work for companies that won't exist 100 years from now. Our country might not exist in 100 years. Not even all Christian ministry will have a positive impact in 100 years. But if you serve the Lord in the church with your spiritual gift, with a heart of faith, and you're like the Philippians, sticking to it through thick and thin with perseverance, you can be confident that the good works God is doing through your hands will still be bearing fruit all the way to the second coming and beyond that. Father, apart from your Son, I can do nothing. I can achieve nothing of any meaning or significance. And only your Spirit can produce lasting fruit from my efforts. So please, do that, Lord. Work in me to will and to act according to your good purpose. Let my work mean something and have a long legacy, not so people will be impressed with me, but simply because I don't want to be a waste of air. I want to fulfill the purpose for which you created me. And I want all the time and effort you poured into me over the years to pay a dividend and produce the results you desired. I want to be a profitable servant. You who forms the mountains, creates the wind, and reveals his thoughts to man, you who turns dawn to darkness and treads the high places of the earth, Yahweh Almighty is your name. Praise be to you, Lord, my Savior, who daily bears my burdens and who carries out his perfect plans. Carry them out through me. Don't let me get so caught up with temporal things that I neglect what's eternal. You've made me responsible for many temporal things. I have to give them some attention, but don't let me lose sight of the most important things. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth and in my life, in my heart, as it is in heaven. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of Philippians, 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.